Blue Wire.
Young Gunner. Wright elevates to three. And hits.
Man, he looks good, doesn't he?
Right deep.
What up? It is your boy, Aaron Wright, your host of Michigan State of Mind. I really appreciate you listening in. Gonna get right into it, man. This Jamari Budden stuff is pretty interesting. Sounds like Michigan tried to get him to commit and gave him like a very like soft deadline, and you know, Budden didn't want to commit to that, and sounds like Michigan moved on and went for a safe pick, but then, you know, wanted to, you know, go back to Budden and see what was happening, and Budden was just like, nah, and that's very interesting. That is very, very interesting. And then, you know, this morning I'm reading, saw a tweet from, I think it was Bean. Some of you guys know him, showing where the Belleville coach was liking a bunch of tweets that kind of bash Michigan. It's kind of a weird stance to take, especially if you're a coach. It's about the kids. And if you have grown-ups acting like children at the expense of the kids that, you know, you're bringing up and recruiting and teaching, that's pretty childish. And I would not trust my child to be in a program like that. It's great that you have a connect to Michigan State. That's awesome. But you don't need to, you know, burn certain bridges, especially as a high school coach. Like, you know, you're taking your adult beef into impacting where certain kids go to school and go to college. You know, no telling how many lives you're changing for the negative, you know, just because you don't like somebody. And that's impacting someone's life that isn't even yours. And you're going to change their trajectory just because you have a small beef with a head coach that's 15 miles down the road. Doesn't make sense to me. Everybody has to be better. Everyone. That's the Belleville coach. That's, you know, the Michigan staff. Something has to happen to mend that relationship. There is no, what's the word? There is no secret to why Belleville players, if you get offered by Michigan State, like in the last like 3 or 4 years, they've all gone to Michigan State. If you're a Belleville player and you get offered, they go to Michigan State. There's no coincidence behind that. There's no coincidence behind that whatsoever. But if a kid wants to go somewhere else, don't talk him out of it due to personal reasons. That's just really, really petty. And that's not me going against MSU or being for Michigan and all that stuff. I'm just saying, like, you know, don't talk down on a program because of your own personal beef. Like, that's just childish. For hoops, I don't want to talk about Eastern yet. I don't want to talk about him until we know more about what's happening, because there's a bunch of stuff swirling around with, you know, did Michigan even offer him, accept his commitment? Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's happening right now. And it's pretty weird that you transfer one day and commit to somewhere like a few hours later. It's pretty strange. I don't know what's happening there. I'm not sure what's, you know, going on with that, but I'm not going to comment on that until we know a bit more. But with Brown, in my opinion, I'm not saying he's better than Josh Christopher, but in terms of what this team needs, I believe that Brown is going to be a much better fit. You know, if you're going to get a one-year player that is all about winning and maturity, and you're getting a streaky shooter, you want it to be a senior, not an incoming freshman who's really about him, about his brand, and pretty much getting his. You're going to get a really good defender and a team-first guy. And I thought that that was a really nice acquisition because Michigan needs, you know, needed this, especially last year, that guy who was about 6'5", consistent. They didn't have that last year. And that's what Marr was, you know. That's what Charles Mathieu was. You know, that was that guy that just, you know, gave you that consistency. You know exactly who they were. They weren't going to surprise you with anything crazy. You just got this, you know, you had a very high floor for them. And they brought it on both ends. They had no excuses. And that's what Brown brings. And that's why I love the acquisition of Shondi Brown. At the same time, Juwan has to be a lot better at, you know, vetting. Like recruiting has been an absolute circus. I understand, you know, you want to get these, you know, high talented guys, but you have to vet them. Like, you have to vet them like crazy. You can't just see a talent and then just offer them. Like, ask more questions about, you know, whether it's their inner circle, other people who aren't in their inner circle, what are their opinions of certain guys. You don't need bad apples coming in, especially early, especially when you're building. You're still building a framework of, you know, who you are and what this new program is supposed to look like. Offering these guys early, that's cool, but you got to talk to more people in and around these kids. They're rivals. Like, you know, what are they saying? And you have to, you know, understand what's coming from hate and what is pretty real. But it's been a circus with Christopher, with Todd, with Eastern. I don't even know what's going on with the Eastern thing, if Michigan even knew. I don't know what's happening. But you can have all the talent in the world, but you don't need certain drama. It will sink the whole ship. Trust me, man. And I really hope he learns from it. Kareem Mané is not looking good on boards, on draft boards. And I'm 50-50 on him staying in now. And but he's so old, man. He's so old. He's like, he's going to be a freshman and like, 20 years old. He's so old. But he's really low on draft boards. And I've said for a while, I think he chooses MSU. If he does withdraw from the NBA draft. And that's going to help them out a lot. Pretty much based on what Aaron Henry does. I think Aaron Henry returns too. But that's going to help a lot with having another ball handler that you trust. You know, you'll have AJ Hogard coming in, but he'll be a freshman. Kareem Mané is going to be a freshman too, but I think he's going to be a little bit more experienced than Hogard with age, you know, playing with Team Canada and all that as well. You know, just getting another ball handler is going to be big, and to have Rocket Watts not always on the ball, but be off the ball some and be able to mix it up. Those boards are also saying that Livers should also go back to school. I don't see him on many boards, if any. I just don't see him staying in. If he does stay in, he made this decision a long time ago. That's the only reason he stays in, is he made this decision that he was 2 feet out a while ago. Gabe Neely decommitted from Michigan State, which is really interesting because he had a lot to say on Twitter about Michigan. And he was talking a lot of stuff, really outspoken, you know, we not done yet, and our class is going to be crazy. Then he decommitted, and then I just went through his Twitter right quick. He's not getting the same type of love that Michigan State showed him, and I know he realizes it. I know he realizes it. When he committed his commit tweet, like over 100 comments. It was like 120 some comments, over 2,300 likes. So that means that he had, man, six-figure impressions easily. So over 100,000 people saw that tweet, and that's super dope. But he's not getting the same love. He's putting out other, you know, I think he deleted all of his Michigan State edits and all that. One of them was cold too. One was like the spider chain. He was like in the white with the spider chain and like two other chains. That was a cold edit. I couldn't find that on his page. I'm not sure if that was on someone else's page. But yeah, nobody else is showing much love on his edits. I think the only edit that showed him like more than like 10 comments was Nebraska. But I mean, it's Nebraska. They have nothing else better to do. No shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, BetOnline. NASCAR is back, and BetOnline has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7, or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter for free. And coming up next Sunday, BetOnline has ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges joining them to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling the final dance. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Guys, looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds? Get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom onto another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra, Cialis, so you know they work. Since they're chewable, they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. Blue Chew's online physician is free of cost, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code BLUEWIRE. Right to some questions. I know I didn't give you guys much time, but I was kind of on a tight schedule here. Rick Mudini 31, COVID, snow, and 30-degree temps in May, murder hornets, and now Midland and Saginaw is completely underwater due to dams breaking. Is this the end of the world? Rick, not the end of the world, but it's been, 2020 has been very eventful, and not in good ways. It's been ridiculous. Ever since, you know, Kobe passed, man, it's been... Woo-wee! 2020 has been not good. I'm serious, man. These last 4 months have been really, really rough. And, you know, history books are going to talk about this. They're going to talk about, you know, how 2020 started. And they're going to have, like, full class lectures on this, on 2020, in about, you know, 20, 25 years, what went right, what went wrong. And then we're going to learn so much about what happened with this COVID thing more and more as time goes on. And we're going to really see, you know, who was at fault. And I hope we do get a straight answer of what exactly has been happening there. But prayers up to you. I know you're up in the Saginaw area. And if you guys don't know, Midland is dealing with like a crazy flood. We're talking like legit flood, like several feet type of flood. So, you know, thoughts out to you guys, and I hope, you know, you're able to get back on your feet soon. Rob Rosso, @Rob Rosso. Would you partner with me on a Joe Exotic type zoo? Rob, you are a really good businessman. I will partner with you on pretty much anything. So that's a yes. Mays Talk, at Mays Talk, if you're the CEO of ESPN, what would you be streaming right now to keep the views up? Ooh. I don't know. That's a really good question. There are zero sports on. I don't know why they don't do a tape delay on the Korean games, because the Korean games are going on like at 1 or 2 in the morning. Like, you know, nobody's up. Like, well, why don't you just tape delay it to like, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 the following night, evening? I'm not sure why they're doing it live. I think that's just dumb. Steiner182. Favorite and least favorite MSU related accounts. Oh man. I don't know. I can't just name one. Loke Hank, that's Logan. The Pepsi God. He just bought me like a whole rack of Pepsi sponsored stuff. So I may have to like switch my allegiance from Coke to Pepsi just because of that. But like, man, like right now I have an Aquafina, and I got a Life Water right here that I'm about to dig into. Randomly met Logan on Twitter like a couple years ago, and he added me on PlayStation 4, and we just played duos one day. And I got shot down, but I was knocked. I wasn't dead, but I couldn't really, you know, move. Then he just, all I hear is a bunch of footsteps and bullets firing. And then he comes to revive me, and I look up, and he has like 7 or 8 kills. And I'm like, okay, you know, we should play a lot more often. So we just started playing for a while, and met him in person. Went to, Texas Day Brazil, but it was Fogo de Chao in Troy. We went out to eat, and, you know, it was a, you know, cool dude, and Logan's one. What's another one? Big Sad. He used to be Big Ten Savant with, like, a default pick for the longest. And this sounds crazy, and he didn't like take my stilo or anything, but I say he's really similar to me in terms of like thought processes and how things are worded and kind of what you're trying to, you know, convey. Some of his tweets are very, very similar. Like, like sometimes I'll be on, you know, Twitter and like I'll see a tweet and I'll be like, man, if they reworded it like this and like this, it would have popped off pretty good. With his, I don't think I've ever had to do that, but he, I actually liked him from the jump. Like as soon as he started, like, you know, getting in conversations more and more, I started like notice this random default like in my mentions, and I'm just like, okay, I don't know what's going on here, but cool, I guess. And because I just don't talk to newer accounts much. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, if you've been on Twitter for like a year or two, I mean, or if I've noticed you for a year or two, I don't really engage much unless you are like actively, like super active, like super engaging for a long time in my mentions. But I always give preference to like the OGs, guys who have been on my page for like at least three or four, you know, years. I always give those guys as much respect and make sure that I talk with them first. Because if you're still here after, you know, over 2 or 3 years, you've been through a lot of stuff with me. Where like I probably said some things that are probably like pissed you off to the point of you wanted to like dox me, And the fact that you're still here, I'm 100%. I'm like, okay, y'all are my freaking ride or dies. You are my OGs. Like, okay, you mess with me, I mess with you, period, dude. But he had like a little toxic segment, really toxic. He was really toxic for like a few weeks where I'm just like, dude, what the heck happened to you? But then like after that, he like went back to normal. But yeah, he's one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite accounts, no matter school affiliation. Soldier is always positive. Super left-leaning, so if you're a conservative out there, you probably don't want to follow him, unless you could take some of the beating. But yeah, he's always super positive. Spiro makes everybody mad. Everyone. And that's always hilarious to me. He'll say something wild, and I know his mentions are like jumping off, and I just start reading them all the way through. I don't even think he knows this, but like I go through, I look at his timeline like once every 2 days, and I'll like sift through and see if he like made a really interesting comment. And I'll like look through and I'll be like, okay, let me look at the comments. And of course there's no bacon farm or whoever they are just in there, you know, sounds good and all this stuff and like going at them. That is one of the funnest rivalries, by the way, or most fun rivalries. I'm not sure which way you want to put it, but him versus bacon farm or bacon lime, I don't know what it is. It's pretty funny. Who doesn't get much love are the women of Twitter. Make sure you diversify your timeline, man. You don't want just one type of thing on your page. You want like a whole bunch of different stuff. Like you want conservative people, you want liberal people, you want moderates, you want sports people, you want non-sports people. Like if you do that and they all come together, it is such a fun time. You want men, women, you want everything together of different types of backgrounds. It just makes it awesome. And it just makes the, you know, Twitter experience a lot better. Tara Stafford and Madison Rose Faith, they're both MSU and they talk a lot of junk. Yeah, it's all in fun. It's all in fun. But fun follows. Don't be a simp. You know, you can talk sports with them, you know. Just don't be a simp. You said least favorites too. That's hard to say. Because in my opinion, you either rock with me or you're against me. Like you fall under two categories, in my opinion. You're either with me or you are against me. It sounds super cliche, but you know, this sounds really arrogant too. Super arrogant. But if you are on Twitter with Michigan or Michigan State, you know who I am. You know where my page is. You either know who I am or you've seen my Abby. And, you know, there's Michigan people out there who know exactly, and they don't rock with me. That's fine. Like, then you're against me. And that's totally cool. But you better mind your business. Or if you cross that line, I will go at your head. I will go at your head. And usually when I go at somebody's head, they don't follow me. Just a heads up. if you say something reckless and you're not on my page, I will come at you. I guarantee it. So please, if you're listening to this and you're not on my page, say something reckless to me just so I can go off. Please. Like, there are media guys who follow me, and there's media guys who don't follow me. Both know who I am, because you can't escape me unless you block me. And you still don't get escaped because you're out of the loop on what happened on my page. You know what I mean? But I make it a mission to the media guys who follow me and who write up on things. I make it a mission. Like, I go out of my way to make sure some of their good work gets more traffic. Like, one guy the other day, you know, I'm looking at his, you know, page, and he's posting articles and, you know, no comments, one comment, like, one RT, you know, really, really, you know, no. He may get traffic, he may not, who knows. But then I pop one, and all of a sudden, that one just stands out, and it has over 130,000 impressions. So over 130,000 people saw my tweet, and they would have linked it to his page as well, too. And if they click on it, that's like one view for him. And over 20 comments under his thing. So, and this is someone who I haven't really, like, spoken with. But the fact that he rocks with what I'm saying, and he's, like, on my page. Oh, man. You get all the respect in the world because you have chosen to rock with me. But, yeah, if you don't rock with me, I will never drive traffic to you. Ever. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. I have had to stop myself like 5 or 6 times in like the past month because I saw a really good article, but then I saw who wrote it. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm pretty vindictive. And it is, I have to get better at that, but I'm pretty vindictive. I don't forget anything. I don't forget anything. If you slip up and you don't rock with me, I better not see you slip up. I better not see you slip up because I'll make you look stupid. I don't know why or how I got to this point with that question, Steiner, but I just got really pumped up for no reason. But yeah, you either rock with me or you don't, bro. There is no in between. There is no in between. You may think you're in between. Not with me, buddy. Not with me. All right, Jose Bandido, that Eric Betts. Devin Gardner wasn't a horrible QB like everyone says that he is after his 2014 season. With him being back in the light, trading Joe Milton, what do you believe was the reason why his 2014 was as poor as it was? Also, my dog needs some Ant Right merch. If your dog needs some Ant Right merch, honestly, I would just go on to, you know, just, you know, look up custom, look up, you know, custom dog stuff. And if you want a transparent file, I'll just send you one of my logo and you could just throw it on there. That's completely fine with me. But 2014, I mean, you're dealing with, you know, incompetence to the max around him. You're dealing with a weak O-line. Just nothing was put in place to make sure that he succeeded, especially in 2014. And it's not, you know, you can't do much if you don't have an O-line. You can't do much if there's an incompetence around you. And you know what? That is just how that goes, man. And, you know, it's fine. It's fine. That's how that goes. It happens everywhere where certain people don't get an opportunity, but if they went to a different school, maybe their trajectory is different and, you know, they could be in a different spot right now. But I mean, he was very, very talented. He knew his stuff, but like I said, you know, not a lot of great pieces, you know, like staff-wise and, you know, O-line-wise and, you know, coaching and teaching and all that. Ronnie Matini the Wise, comment on the latest Joe Milton throwing video. I mean, I'm not a football guy. Like, I am super casual when it comes to, like, the nuances with football. But I just love how he just makes these throws look so effortless. And this is off the movement. I love the different, you know, looks that Gardner was giving him, whether it's, you know, getting hit and whether it's, you know, getting pressure from the side or getting pressure from, you know, straight back, his footwork, and he, you know what? Milton was treating it like an actual game. He was going hard. Like, he fell sometimes. He was off balance sometimes, and he still wanted to show that. And that just shows confidence, man. And it was exciting to watch. I'll put it that way. It was very exciting to watch because he looks hungry, and I've seen like two videos now, and it's what gets me is that he's probably doing this like 3-4 times a week minimum. And when he's not doing it, he's probably like studying film. I just think he's really hungry right now. He looks really hungry. And I hope the football team can reconvene sometime soon to make sure, you know, both Dylan and Joe have like a legit shot. And they are indeed both at the same level. So truly the best quarterback wins. Tweet Kenterson at Kent. Tweeterson, what show are you watching right now? I want spoilers too. Well, I'm not going to do spoilers because I don't know who else is on there. But Roz has been watching New Girl, and I've been watching it too. It's not bad. It's not bad. Short episodes, they're like 20 to 22 minutes long. Not bad at all. So, I mean, we started like maybe like last week, and we're already like middle of season 5, and it goes super fast. It goes really, really quick. It's decent, enjoyable so far for sure. But I really want to watch Breaking Bad. I really want to get on that as soon as possible. Wolverine season, Boss in Your Face 1. Some targets you think Michigan has a good chance at in the 2021 class for basketball. Also, I bet you are already doing this, but what's your opinion on Eastern and Shondi? I already gave my opinion on Eastern, and I gave my opinion on Shondi. But the targets that I'm looking at for 2021 is, well, first you have to know that Michigan's 2021 class is going to be, there's like I said either yesterday or the day before, the roster is going to look crazy in 2021, 2022. That's because you're going to have no less than 6 or 7 new faces on that team. That's like you're looking at guys graduating. You're looking at scholarships opening up because possibly Franz is gone after next year. You're looking at a lot of things, and you're looking at a whole new team pretty much. And basically the only person that will probably be left on that team from Beeline is going to be Brandon Johns. You know? So, that's going to be interesting. That being said, it's still super early, but Angelo Brizzi, point guard out of Virginia, Warrenton, Virginia, lefty. I have his breakdown up on YouTube. Pretty good player, pretty good ball player, unranked, but he has been blowing up as of late, like offers by like Villanova and a lot of teams like him. But real nice point guard, about 6'3", 6'4", pretty athletic, has super deep range, very, very good player. If you don't know about him, go on my page and check him out. Tom A. Woods _Tom. How do you see Brandon Wade contributing now with the new guard transfers? Really? Hey, that is a really good question. It's going to be interesting. He has his work cut out for him. I mean, if you're looking at it, I'm going to have to write this down. I do all this pretty much off the cuff. So let me see here. So you have Brandon Wade. You have Mike Smith. You have Eli Brooks as the Mike Smith and Wade are the two point guards. Are the two pure point guards. Eli Brooks can run the point as well. Zeb, when he was smaller, he ran some point. So that'll be interesting there. He has his work cut out for him. You know, he's going to have to beat out a fifth-year transfer for Columbia who came here to start. He's going to have to go to work on Eli Brooks. You know, he's going to have to really show that he can run the team. And that's totally up to him. But he has a lot more competition now than he had, coming in. Now with Shawnee Brown coming in, that's gonna push Zeb's minutes and Eli Brooks's minutes. Eli Brooks is really good defensively and really good shooting. You can't really rest him that much. I still see Eli putting up 25, 30 minutes next year. So Brandon is gonna have to really compete with Mike Smith. He's gonna have to really compete with Zeb as well too. If he really wants to play and be in the rotation, Mike Smith and Zeb, that playing time is gonna, it's gonna definitely come down to that. In practice, who's running their team better, who's going to work better. Mark Ashenbrenner at GoBlueMo. With the addition of Shawnee Brown, compare and contrast Wake Forest and Michigan style and tell us why you feel he will succeed at Michigan or not. Good question. I wish I read this prior to the pod so I could possibly give you a better answer. But at Wake Forest, Shawnee was a really good defender on a pretty poor defensive team. Like, they ranked like the mid 200s in defensive efficiency, I believe. And they played pretty fast. That's not a good combination. You're not only playing fast, playing in higher possessions, but you also don't play very well defensively. So you have more plays to not do well on. That's kind of why they failed. I see the Big Ten being a lot better for them because games are going to be a bit slower in the Big Ten and not super fast like the ACC. His play style should translate pretty well. Like, it's going to be like a Charles Matthews. And Charles Matthews was great for the team. I know, some people had, headaches because, he wasn't Kobe or Michael Jordan. But he's going to be very similar in terms of he's going to give you a lot of energy on both ends. And he's going to be very consistent. And he's going to have some games where he puts up, like, 7 and, like, 9 boards. Other games where he puts up like 20 something and 10 boards, who knows? But he's going to give you that energy either way. And if you're that big, he's 6'5", 6'8", wingspan, 225 pounds. He's a big dude. And a big dude going really, really hard in the Big Ten, he should succeed. It's just up to the coaching staff to make sure that he's put in the right situations on both ends. Really good question, though. I wish I had more time to research. But I do know that Wake Forest was like mid-200s in terms of defensive efficiency. And they were ranked, I believe, number 60 or number 61 in pace of play. But good question. Yo, thank you once again for listening in. I really appreciate it. I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their, week, and continue to wash your hands. It looks like things are going to slowly start opening up here, so make sure that you are still, looking out for home and what's important, and make sure you, do what you're, do right by your family and nobody else. Talk to you soon.